Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends in Christ. Isn't it the worst kind of aggravation that you feel when someone else swoops in at the last possible second and steals all the credit for something that you did? Because on the one hand, you know in your heart of hearts that you're the one who deserves the praise for whatever it was you did. Maybe you worked overtime without being asked at your job. Maybe you're the one who was leaving gifts for people who were in need anonymously. On the other hand, though, you know that you can't say anything about it. Once somebody's already taken the credit for whatever it was that you did, it's only going to make you look bad if you try to step in and take the credit back. It's a classic catch-22. You're left to just sit there and stew in your aggravation because you can't say a word. It's difficult out there. It's hard out there to get recognition, isn't it? It's a constant struggle every day of our lives to be recognized for the good that we do. After all, there's an awful lot of competition. Plus, it feels good, doesn't it? It feels so good, so rewarding, so validating to get that pat on the back from whoever it is, just for being a good person, for being a great parent, for being a reliable employee. And so, is anyone really surprised when people do that, when people swoop in and snatch up as much recognition as they can steal? Are we even all that shocked sometimes when we do it ourselves? Because it's hard. It's hard. Sometimes it seems no matter how hard you work, no matter how kind you can be, no matter how many kind words, nice cards, encouragements you offer, that it just seems like nobody wants to recognize you for it. So is it really any shock that with as difficult as it is to come by any bit of recognition, that people do as much as they can to get every little bit that they can, even if it comes at the expense of someone else? And it's really not a shock to any of us who've lived in this world for any length of time. It's definitely not a surprise to anybody who knows what being a sinner in a sinful world really means. And so aren't we just a little bit surprised this morning when we look at John the Baptist? And we see how he time and time again refuses to take any credit for himself? It's certainly a shock to those Jewish leaders who came out to the wilderness from Jerusalem to see this strange preacher out in the wilderness near the Jordan. It's really a shock to them when they ask him who he is because they don't understand what's coming. But John does. John knows exactly what he's doing, and maybe more importantly for us this morning, friends, he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt why. He knows why he lives the way he does, why he preaches the message that he preaches, and why he preaches it the way that he does, in the place that he does. Every last step along the way from John to us is to show us the value of pointing to someone else instead of ourselves. Because John's singular task is to get the world ready for the arrival of the Messiah. Which means that John the Baptist could hardly fail worse in his calling than to take any glory for himself. And first things first this morning, friends, this is a lesson that we need to take to heart. Because after all, how often doesn't it happen as we're living our lives each and every day that we don't get caught up in the flurry of the world around us in trying just as much as everyone else in this world seems to be doing to scratch out our own little corner of praise, of adoration, of recognition. To grab as much as we can for ourselves. How important is it, doesn't it seem to be for us to get accolades, to get praise for the good job that we do at work? How critical does it seem to be in your day-to-day life for you to be seen by the other parents, the other moms in your circle, as the best kind of parent, one worth imitating? How essential is it to be seen in our circle of friends as the nice one, the funny one, the cool one? Because friends, if we sit down this morning and we evaluate the way that we live, the things that we build and focus our lives around, how often is it really that we've spent some real time and effort doing nothing more than trying to impress other people so that we can justify our own existence? How much time and effort do we spend trying to gain the recognition, the adoration, the praise from the human beings that surround us in our life? But can we really take any credit? Can we take any credit at all for the things that we do or the way that we live? Friends, can you and I even take any credit at all for the fact that we exist in the first place? If we're honest with ourselves, if we're honest with each other this morning, we have to admit we can't. But I think we also have to admit that that hardly stops sinners from trying. Trying to point others to our own self-worth. But it isn't worth anything at all if it's only a picture of what we can do ourselves. See, if we're going to insist on pointing other people to us, to ourselves, to show other people how hardworking we are, how great of a parent we can be, how impressive of a friend we are to them, well, friends, if we're going to point them to ourselves, it better be worth directing their attention to. But what sinners really long to be true is that we can make ourselves into something valuable, something worth looking at, something worth emulating and imitating, all by ourselves. That you and I, by our own effort, by our own power, can build ourselves up into something that's worth setting on a pedestal in front of everyone else in our lives, so that you and I can finally feel justified. So that when all those other people look to us and say, aren't they just the best, the greatest, that we finally have a reason for being? The hard truth that God reveals to us in his word is simply this, that all those things that we do, all those kind acts that we carry out, every last one of those days spent doing overtime in the office, all of those wonderful moments spent with our circle of friends when we were the center of it all, when we spend them pointing people only to ourselves, every last one of those righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. That as good as our lives might look on the outside, even the most generous philanthropist, even the most gentle diplomat, if we can honestly call ourselves any of those things, is still a rotten sinner at the core. Which means that when God evaluates us, not just other human beings, what really does he see? Does he see the best, the brightest, the greatest? Or does he just see yet another hopeless, helpless sinner destined for death? And friends, what you and I see this morning in John the Baptist, it's not that John simply wanted to guide people away from himself as just another sinner. What's much more important about what John the Baptist does this morning is that he doesn't just guide people away from himself, but towards something greater than himself. That John's identity wasn't all wrapped up in wanting to guide people to himself, but that his identity was totally wrapped up in guiding other people to his Lord. That it wasn't tied to just the food he ate, the clothes that he wore, or any other outward thing that sinners so frequently want to build our lives around. That even the baptism he performed was intended to lead people to something more, to make them think about repenting of their sins and being ready for the arrival of someone greater than John, to get washed clean of their old sinful habits and be ready for something new. John's identity was completely immersed in preparing the way for his Savior, so that people could focus on the only thing that matters, not only in this life, but into eternity. We need this Savior that John points us towards this morning. Every sinner needs this Savior that John directs us to. We need our identity to be tied just as closely to him as John's was too. Because John had every opportunity to take the credit for himself. Every opportunity when these mighty representatives of God's worshipers on earth, these representatives of the priests, the Levites, the Pharisees, those highest of the high amongst the Jews, came to John and said, "Who are you?" John could have given them any answer that they even served up to him. Could have claimed to be the prophet that people had been waiting for. Could have claimed to be Elijah, could have claimed to be anyone he pleased, so that they would have welcomed him into the inner circle and let him be one of their great teachers that so many Jews from around the world would come to Jerusalem to admire. But instead, John says no. And he doesn't just say no, he points those people back to the Word. Back to the words of the prophet Isaiah to remind them and himself of what his purpose truly is. Not to build himself up, but to make the world ready for the imminent arrival of the promised one, the Messiah. And it's a shock. It's absolutely dumbfounding to them. Look at all the things that John was doing that could have drawn attention to himself, wearing camel skins instead of ordinary clothes, eating locusts and wild honey instead of the rich food of others, living and preaching out in the wilderness outside of that holy city, Jerusalem. John had every opportunity to go into Jerusalem, to count himself amongst the other preachers and teachers, those great Jews of his day, but he doesn't. Instead, firmly rooted in his identity given to him as the one who prepares the way for the king, he faithfully fulfills his calling and points every sinner that comes his way to their Lord. Because this Savior, who we not only know was coming soon, but did come, Jesus of Nazareth, did everything that John the Baptist said he was going to do. He lived that life that fulfilled the law. He died a death that paid for the sins of every sinner. He rose again in glory to show his superiority over everything that exists, even death, which means that he is the one worthy of putting our trust in, and he alone is the one who can save any and every sinner by faith in him. Which means that John's purpose, being connected to this Savior by faith, John's purpose wasn't to point people to himself. He was just the messenger. His purpose was to point people to their Savior. And friends, for you and me, in fact, for every single human being who is walking through this, their life in this world, looking for purpose, searching desperately for some identity to center themselves around so they can live every day of their life confident that they have a purpose, a reason for living in this world, John gives us the best identity imaginable. Our identity doesn't have to be tied to something as simple as outward things. We find our identity in Christ, the one who gave himself for us so that we could live. And not only does that free us from the heavy weight of guilt because of our sins, it sets us on a new, more meaningful path. Instead of having to attract attention to ourselves from our peers in order to find meaning, we find meaning in pointing those peers to their Savior. Which means that our new identity is a permanent one. Things like hobbies, jobs, families, all these things change. All these things are temporary. They're only going to last as long as this world does. But your Savior lives forever. Which means that everyone who calls on him through faith will also live forever, and their identity in him will last into eternity. So friends, we have this opportunity to share something new, something greater with the world, that you are more than just the things you do, the things you own, the friends and the family you keep. You are more than all these things put together and still more besides, because you are one for whom Christ died. And more than that, you are one through whom God works to direct other people in this world to come to know that Savior the same way that you have come to know him. It gives us the opportunity to live the same way that John the Baptist lived. No, not saying you have to put aside all your clothes and put on camel skin. Not saying you have to give up visiting all your favorite restaurants so that you can live on nothing more than locusts and honey. But that we live the same way John did, by faith, pointing other people not to ourselves so that we can be confident that our lives have meaning, but pointing other people to our Savior, absolutely assured that living for him and not only for ourselves, our lives do have meaning. And not only in this life, but into the next. Which means that we have a calling too. We have a divine calling, not to keep our identity hidden and to ourselves, but to wear it boldly and proudly and share it with the world. To teach others who are desperately seeking some permanent source of identity to despair of themselves and find their identity in Christ by faith. Just like John. And just like we have once done. The same Lord who led John to live this life in the wilderness leads us to live a new life as well. A life of purpose. a life of deep and lasting meaning that allows us to direct lost sinners to the only one who can give them life. What more meaningful calling could there be? What more eternal identity could a person long to have? And you, dear friends, have this identity as your very own through faith in our risen Savior, Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through faith in our risen Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. I invite you to please stand as we confess the faith with Christians everywhere using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.